Okay, Shalom Aleichem, my boy side. Chavis Halvavis, Shar Yichud Amaisa, Perek Hey. We're in the middle of discussing the Yetzer Hara's various approaches, his various assaults. And meanwhile, we're seeing various assaults to our Emunah, various aspects of our Emunah. So now, he mentions a couple of additional assaults to our Emunah, one which is relevant now. We're in the middle of Perek Hey. If the Yetzer Hara does not manage to hit you in the ways that we've described, he'll try to hit you from the direction of reward and punishment. Meaning, not in a general way is there such a thing, but that it is not really so that a righteous person is rewarded, is treated accordingly, and that a wicked person is treated accordingly. It was really just. You would never see Hashem treat a rasha well or do anything bad to a tzaddik. Like some have reached that conclusion by seeing the phenomenon of a prospering Russia or a suffering tzaddik. They reach the conclusion that no, the world is not run according to a just system. And he tells us, so refer back to earlier in the Sefer where we discussed this, and that settles the problem. Here he doesn't elaborate on that. But we will mention in brief some of the things that he mentioned earlier when it comes to the subject of why a tzaddik might suffer and why a rasha might prosper. And some of the explanations that we saw earlier, we'll just mention this briefly. This is not really a proper treatment of the subject. We did do that earlier in Shara Bitochen. But a number of the things that he said was, he said, Lemaisa, at the end of the day, why Hashem will do this particular thing to this particular person, the reasons in every case are very individual and part of Hashem's deep plan. Nevertheless, he said, there are a couple of general concepts that can provide us with insight to these things. So when he talked about the suffering tzaddik, you know what? We'll start with before getting into the reasons that the Chavis Halvavis gives, I think I'll preface it with something that the Kuzari says. And the Kuzari basically says that the question of tzaddik v'raloi has to be put into perspective. Here I'm paraphrasing what the Kuzari says. It has to be put into perspective. Meaning, a person moves through life, all of a sudden encounters an instance of tzaddik v'raloi chas v'shalom, of suffering tzaddik. So all of a sudden he says, is this what Hashem is about? So what we would basically say to that is the following mashal. Let's say you are coming to meet a certain person for the first time. You're coming in to meet him for the first time, and you see him speaking very rudely. Someone comes to ask him for a favor, and you see him telling him off, speaking very rudely to him. You're not going to have a favorable impression of that person. But let's say you know this person for 25 years. You know that this is a person who will do anything for anybody. Take his shirt off his back. And he is basically spending his life helping people out, much at his own expense, up late at night. Spends a lot of his own money on his Chesed projects. And anybody knows that they can call him and they'll have a listening ear and they'll have a helping hand. And you know that this person who's actually coming to him now has been helped by this person, by this year immensely, all throughout the years. And now you see him telling him off. What will your response be? Will it be the same as if you're encountering the person for the first time? Oh, wow. He's a pretty lousy person. I don't know what I was thinking up till now. Or will you say, I don't know what's going on here, but I know this guy. I've known him for 25 years. I see the way he operates. This isn't exactly in sync with everything I know, but my impression, I know who he is. I know who he is. And now the question is, okay, how does this fit into the picture? It's a good question, but it doesn't change what I know about him, right? So basically the idea, the Chovas HaLevavos doesn't make this point, but the Khazari makes this point, and it works very well against the backdrop of the Chovas HaLevavos, who's hammering in the concept of Shaar HaBchina. A person hasn't encountered Hashem throughout his life. The first time he encounters him is when something goes wrong. Something goes wrong, and all of a sudden, he says, why would Hashem do something like this? I say, one minute. Where was Hashem up till now? Up till now, everything went right. You know how much that involves? So the question you want to ask, why would Hashem do that? It has to be asked in the right perspective. The illustration that connects me to this is something I've said a number of times from the Kalever Rebbe. Kalever Rebbe, right? He was nifter a couple of years ago at a very old age. Famous, the Rebbe without the beard, that's right, because it was torn out by the Nazis. He was through Mamish the Shiva Midori Gehenim. He was through the worst experiences in the war. And he was asked afterwards, how do you explain what happened? How can you understand what happened? And his answer was so profound. He said, I guess so. His answer was so profound. He said, I don't understand it. But let me tell you something. He said, before the war, I was very well to do. I had a very luxurious life, had a very comfortable life. I don't understand that either. In other words, I don't know why Hashem does what he does. I don't know why he gave me all those comforts before that. I don't know why he did this. The point that we're making here is that we're not necessarily talking faith when we're talking about this subject. We're talking, if you will, about being a mensch. Many times, the Chovas HaLevavos tries to train us toward this understanding. You have to relate to Hashem with menschlichkeit also. You want to ask, you have to ask the question in the right way. Don't ask it in a not menschlich way. Up till now, Hashem, I never really encountered him. You ever encountered him? Who has been seeing to the functioning of your body up till now? All these different things. Well, that's just, you know, nobody ever steps back and wonders. Nobody ever steps back and wonders, I just experienced a very good stroke of a stroke of good fortune. I wonder why Hashem would do that. Why shouldn't Hashem do that? Why shouldn't I get it? Right? Nobody ever wonders about that. All of a sudden, when something doesn't go our way, we suddenly start wondering. Things do go our way. That's natural. Nothing to wonder about there. So basically, the Chovas HaLevavos is saying, the Khazari is saying, I'm putting it into these words. If you've been through the training of the Chovas HaLevavos in Shaar HaBchina, even if you are going to ask why, it's going to be a different kind of why. It's going to be the why of somebody who already knows this person, is a major Baal Chesed for 25 years, and that's strange, that's a little bit out of what I'm used to. But it's coming against the backdrop of a very, very profound understanding of who the person is. That's the menschlich way to ask the question. To ask the question otherwise is basically a blatant disregard for everything he has been doing for you all along. It's simply forget lack of faith. It's a lack of derech eretz. It's a lack of menschlichkeit. This is the perspective that the Khazari gives. So the question already loses its teeth if it's asked in the right perspective. might still be a question, but then at least it's a legitimate question being asked in the right way. Now, why taka might it be? So very briefly, the Chavis HaVavis earlier provided us with a number of explanations. And we'll review them now briefly. Some of them we'll review now briefly. First of all, we have the basic concept of kapara. We're all used to the concept, so once you become very used to the concept, it doesn't speak to you much. But if we really appreciate what kapara means, and how here in this world we might not appreciate the value of it, but when a person reaches the next world and sees the immense difference at having one less thing that has to be dealt with when he's already there, it's well worth whatever a person might have to go through to achieve that in this world. So that's one.
In other words, for bonus, this will provide for kapara. Now that we want for bonus, we have different kinds of kapara. Was there this kind of kapara before the Beis HaMikdash? You understand my question?
Ramandi is asking, in earlier times, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, Karbanis provided kapara. So at that time, was there a concept of Yisurim providing kapara, of suffering providing kapara? Or is this something that only became necessary once we didn't have Karbanis anymore? So I can't tell you a clear authoritative answer to that question, but I will say this. Nowadays also we have other means of kapara. For example, there are things that can take the place of Yisurim. Learning Torah, Rabbeinu Yehuda teaches us, learning Torah can serve as a valuable form of kapara that can actually take the place of Yisurim. Other things also. That's right. Chesed can take the place of Yisurim. Chesed, which includes tzedakah. Rabbeinu Yehuda also tells us that spreading knowledge of Hashem, bringing people closer to Torah, closer to Hashem. He says that can even be mechaper for Misa. It says a chil Hashem can only be atoned for through Misa. He says this can even cover that. So we have other means of kapara. So at the end of the day, we still aren't completely privy to how the equation works. So I don't know for a fact, but it's possible that also in the time of Karbonis, it was sometimes necessary for there to be a certain combination. I don't know. Another thing that the Chavis HaVavis says earlier is leharboi schara. Sometimes Hashem will bring Yisurim on a person in order to increase his reward. Now that's something that has to be understood, because what does that mean? Like, it's meritorious just to get suffering in its own sake? But the answer is that suffering ups the challenge. Let's say you have a person who is training to be an athlete. And he reaches a certain level of muscularity. Would you say it that way?
Perfection,
right? So what does the trainer do? He goes and he replaces the weights with heavier weights, and the things that the guy has to jump on, he makes a little higher and says, "What's this? I should be rewarded. I reached such excellence. You should make the weights lighter and you should make the rope slower." He says, "No. You've reached this level. I want you to reach even further levels. That's it. You've exhausted this level." Sometimes Hashem will say, the things that you were doing up till now, I want to see if you can continue to maintain that level when the going gets tougher. So it's actually increasing. All of your performance now goes up a notch in terms of value. That will sometimes be a reason why Hashem will do that. Another reason that the Chavis HaVavis says is that sometimes Hashem will do it to a person who he knows will serve as an example to others as to how to relate to suffering correctly. And this person actually has the schus, mamish, of like a person who's marbit taira, a person who's teaching the masses. You see this sometimes, that, you know, chalila, a family goes through something. You wouldn't think of that. You think of them as a simple family, a simple nondescript family. All of a sudden, chas v'shalom, they go through something, and the whole community is in awe, inspired at the way they're relating to it. So you have to realize that this is mamish, the zchus of zikui arabi. The person wouldn't necessarily be the type to go give shiurim. But here, he's given an opportunity to be a mezakeh sarabim in a way that Hashem knows that he'd be capable of. These are a number of the insights that the Chavis HaLevavos gives as to why a person might be put through ordeals as a righteous person. This is a partial sampling, but that'll be that for today. Good night, Rabbi Yisrael.
Thank you.
Sorry?